From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Alan Young. The way it's written on the state ballot, Proposition 34 appears to focus on healthcare, but the measure has a hidden agenda related to rent control. While the initiative claims to regulate prescription drug revenues, its real aim is to curb the political influence of one healthcare provider. The California Apartment Association, representing landlords across the state, is taking on the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, a nonprofit with a unique business model that has made it larger than Planned Parenthood and the American Heart Association. The AIDS Healthcare Foundation is led by a polarizing and scrappy CEO who has become a force in the ongoing clash between California's real estate industry and activists for renters' rights. Today, we're diving into the ulterior motive of Prop 34, and we'll explore the larger questions the measure raises about how special interests shape policy in California. I'm joined by Los Angeles Times reporters Andrew Corey and Liam Dillon. Andrew, it's great to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Liam, good to see you again.
Yes, sir. Good to be here.
So who's behind Prop 34? What do they do, and what is their stated purpose for putting Prop 34 on the ballot this year?
Sure. I mean, behind Prop 34, the sponsors, the people who wrote the measure are the California Apartment Association. And they are a group of, it's a trade group that represents property owners, landlords across the country, including some of the largest apartment owners in the United States. And their stated purpose is for the measure is to limit how certain healthcare providers spend revenues from a federal prescription drug program. And basically what this would do, it would, if a healthcare provider that owns pharmacies and uses this federal prescription drug program, if they also have spent over $100 million in any 10-year period on things besides direct patient care, and also own and run multifamily housing with more than 500 high-severity health and safety violations, they would then be limited to spend revenues from this federal program, 98% of those revenues on direct patient care. And this is, applies, the only one that the organization that really jumps out that this applies to is the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. And the California Apartment Association has been specific that they are looking to curb the AIDS Healthcare Foundation spending. They have cited the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, Michael Weinstein, the organization's head, as someone who they believe has improperly spent money that should be going towards direct patient care and used it on political campaigns, including rent control.
So they came out with this pretty complicated measure, and it's got really narrow criteria for who qualifies for it. And it appears that just one organization qualifies. Are there any other groups that stand to lose if Prop 34 passes?
The supporters of Prop 34 have pointed out a few other organizations that, you know, potentially could fall under this, including CVS Health. But no one, you know, it's not common that people who run pharmacies also own homes and run apartment buildings. And no other organization has had any high profile problems running housing. My colleague Liam has reported on issues that have popped up for health and safety violations with the AIDS Healthcare Foundation properties. And so, you know, the one that really stands out here is the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. And the proponents of the measure have been specific that they think, that AIDS Healthcare Foundation is a reason they're doing this. And they've specifically said that.
They've said as much, right? Like that's part of their campaign is we're going after these guys.
Yeah, they say that.
This is in some ways, an extremely complicated measure, sort of as Andrew describes, and all the things that qualify or whether an organization qualifies to have their spending restricted in a certain way. But realistically, this is a very simple measure. This is about landlords, frankly, who are tired of this one organization, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, running ballot measure after ballot measure after ballot measure on rent control. And while the landlords have been successful at defeating AIDS Healthcare Foundation-sponsored statewide rent control measures in 2018 and 2020. There's another one on the ballot now. It's been costing them, upwards of $100 million each campaign to defeat these. And so this is sort of, realistically, one group, powerful group, trying to go after another group that is certainly powerful, but has, less financial resources, although significant financial resources, less so than the largest landlords in the country.
So let's step back and get some background on AIDS Healthcare Foundation. What do they do? Let's start with the field of medical care and services. Like, what's, is that their flagship service, and what is it?
Yeah, that's their sort of primary thing they do. They provide healthcare services predominantly to AIDS patients, not just in the United States, not just in California, but all over the world. And they've been in business since the late 80s. They're also known as being sort of particularly provocative in many of their campaigns. People in Sacramento may not be aware of this, but if you go anywhere in LA, there are these billboards and these bus ads everywhere in Los Angeles that are, again, provocative. I mean, there's been a picture of a volcano and says syphilis explosion on it. And that's an AIDS Healthcare Foundation billboard to advertise for their STD testing. And so they're prominent in that area. They're prominent in condom giveaways, all of those sorts of things.
And what can you tell me about the leader of this organization and how he got his start?
So he was a co-founder of the organization back in 1987. He's known as not just on housing issues being pretty pugnacious, but in many issues in healthcare and in local politics. He ran for office, failed run for office previously, and so he's made sort of these enemies not just in the housing space and in the healthcare space. There are a lot of AIDS organizations that have trouble with his some of his positions. Also, local government in LA, some folks have had trouble with his positions. And it's really this sort of take no prisoners, no holds barred, perhaps bending the truth in certain circumstances to try to get his way.
And this is Michael Weinstein we're talking about?
Correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when did he kind of move this business model for HF from an advocate and provider of medical services into housing? When did that happen?
So the housing really happened about a decade ago. He became involved in sort of planning and growth issues in Los Angeles, and sort of two stated reasons. One, that he had believed that gentrification was being driven by this region's housing policies, and also has talked, I think, more recently about kind of healthcare and housing being linked, right? I mean, there is a lot of research that says that folks who are on the streets and need of mental health services and others, get worse if they don't have houses. And so he has decided with the revenue that that the organization gets, the vast revenue they get from, or able to get from this federal prescription drug program, to dedicate substantial resources. We calculated it last year at over $300 million into the housing space.
That's an enormous sum to spend. How common is it for organizations in the healthcare industry to become involved in housing policy? Is that a thing?
So I think, like, at a certain level, yes. I mean, you have other healthcare groups that will say spend certain money on perhaps on ballot measures for affordable housing construction, or will do their own affordable housing, or will certainly support healthcare services for homeless residents. That's not uncommon. But I think what is very uncommon is for an organization to sort of run ballot measures that are, outside of kind of their core area. I mean, again, you can make an argument that rent control could perhaps be a healthcare issue, but it's a housing issue. And he's continued, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation has continued to, sponsor these initiatives largely with their own funding.
You mentioned it a little bit, but tell me more about Michael Weinstein's professional reputation and some of the tactics that he and AHF have used that have raised concerns.
So I guess it kind of depends on whether how much you've tangled with him and whether you believe that some of his positions. I think certainly he is unrelenting in support of the things that he believes in. He likened, you know, his doggedness once to quote the gum on your shoe, and that he's been willing to kind of go over and over and over again, even when losing after some of these issues. But, you know, there have been local politicians, AIDS activists who, for some of his positions and in their entanglements with him, have called him, you know, quote, a thug, a bully, and even in one case, Satan. And so, you know, he just doesn't relent, and is always sort of willing to kind of fight bare knuckle to support the causes that he believes in.
Well, what's he doing? Is he calling people out? Is he, what are these techniques that people are saying, wow, this is a different player than others in this space?
Yeah. So it's, I mean, it is kind of calling people out personally, questioning their morality, whether they're corrupt, those who oppose him, you know, super pugilistic, and not only at the ballot box, but in court as well, very aggressive in litigation. And so again, all of these things where, you know, sort of these sort of scorched earth tactics that a lot of politicians and advocacy groups don't like.
But he's found some successes, right? Because people aren't going after him because of his personality. He's done some things that have really ruffled some feathers, and basically this proposition is to stop it. So what are the things that he's done that they want to shut down?
Well, as it relates to the specific proposition, it's really about the rent control issues. I mean, this is now the third time that the AIDS Healthcare Foundation has put forward a ballot measure to expand rent control in California. You know, as I said at the top, this, while the landlords have been successful at outspending the AIDS Healthcare Foundation and other supporters, you know, 2-1 on all of these campaigns, these are significant sums that they have to spend, again, upwards of $100 million each campaign to defeat them. And so, I mean, it's a lot of money, right? And as a result, they're working to try to stop, the landlord groups are working to try to stop this sort of consistent and incessant campaigns in this area.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Los Angeles Times reporters Andrew Corey and Liam Dillon about Prop 34, a state ballot measure with a hidden housing agenda. So, Liam, you mentioned that Weinstein and AHF are the guys behind this Prop 33. Can you explain this one to our listeners?
So Prop 33 is sort of, in some ways simple, in other ways a little bit more complicated. So it is a rent control ballot measure in that there is a state law now that prohibits sort of most forms of rent control on more newly built apartments in California, prohibits in against single family homes, things of that nature. So that law is called Costa-Hawkins, and it was passed in the mid-90s. And all that the ballot measure would do, in essence, is repeal that law, which then would allow, and but not require, local governments to be able to put rent control on units within their boundaries without any restriction.
So a little more aggressive on the rent control. And AHF, as you mentioned, doesn't just do housing policy. They're also providing housing to low-income tenants. I know you've reported on this. How's that been going for them?
So that was a major article that myself and some colleagues did, an investigation we did that published last year. Again, this is a group that talks constantly about all that they do for tenants, not only in the organizing space, but also they are, you know, they're landlords themselves. In the past, a little less than a decade, they've bought up, 15 apartment complexes or more in Los Angeles, some more around the country, designed to serve the homeless residents. A lot of them SROs, kind of old residential hotels in the Skid Row area. And we found that sort of despite their pro-tenant rhetoric, they've had substantial problems in their buildings, instances of one instance or a few instances that stick in mind was once there was one of their buildings in Skid Row, a radiator exploded in a tenant's room that killed that tenant's dog. There have been constant outages with plumbing and running water, vermin, some violence in these buildings. We found code and public health complaints in their buildings were three times higher than many similar landlords in the Skid Row area.
So these guys are controversial, to say the least. Let's talk about the tactic that the California Apartment Association is using. I want to kind of use this to help explore a bigger question about how often do individuals or interest groups successfully use California's voter-approved initiative system to shut down their opposition because they maybe aren't winning in the legislature. Is this a regular thing that occurs?
So I think that's the most unique thing about this measure is, you know, I'm unaware of a similar measure, at least in recent memory, that while not, you know, in name about one particular organization, sort of in reality about one particular organization. And I think, you know, Andrew can weigh in here as well, but that's sort of part of the legal concern and precedential concern, if you will, about this measure that not just the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, but other groups have raised that if, you know, landlords are successful at kind of targeting their, you know, they're a big opponent if this measure were to pass, that could sort of open, potentially, you know, might raise constitutional issues and also might kind of open the floodgates. That's a worry, open the floodgates for other sort of moneyed interests to go after their opponents in a similar way.
Yeah. What do you think, Andrew? How uncommon is what we're seeing here in Prop 34?
I would kind of agree with Liam. As far as I'm aware, I'm not aware of something that fits the bill this specifically. And this is kind of one of the reasons the AIDS Healthcare Foundation has sued to try to get Prop 34 off the ballot, alleging it's, you know, unconstitutional because it singles them out for punishment, as they would say. And they have been unsuccessful at that so far, that it's going to be on the ballot in 2 weeks, if I got my dates correctly. But judges, you know, historically, they've been a little bit cautious to remove things from the ballot and sort of decide these issues before voters do. Going forward, if this does pass, I would expect this to be wrapped up in litigation going forward with the, you know, AIDS Healthcare Foundation trying to get it overturned. And, you know, they have said that they expect at the end of the day to be successful in that, and that a judge will rule it unconstitutional because of this sort of specific nature that it has.
So your reporting is suggesting that this would get struck down in the courts if...
No, I'm just saying that is a possibility. And, you know, this isn't over. If it does pass, it will likely go and there'll be continued litigation.
So let's talk about if it does succeed in both the ballot box and the courts. And Liam mentioned this a bit, but I really want to get a sense of what the implication here. I mean, could this create a blueprint for advocacy groups to shut down other advocacy groups or just one person and their organization through our statewide initiative process?
I think that is a real possibility. I mean, I don't see if this succeeds, why people would not do that, right? I mean, you know, you have certainly have plenty of moneyed organizations who are willing to spend substantial amounts of money at the ballot. And I can just keep thinking of all the dialysis measures that we voted on in recent memory in California. That was sort of a spat between a statewide union and a dialysis company. And I mean, I can only imagine that if there was a way that maybe you spend $100 million or $200 million once and that can shut down your opponent forever, even seems more economical than having to spend $100 million every 2 years, right? And so I certainly would think that if this were to succeed, as you said, both at the ballot and in court, then you could very easily see this kind of tactic being used again.
And how's this been received by folks that watch this stuff closely? I'm thinking political ethicists or analysts, sophisticated observers. Are they kind of up in arms about this tactic, or is it just kind of Sacramento machinations working the way that it sometimes does?
I think there is concern among this. You know, there's been outside groups that have, like Consumer Watchdog and others, that have filed briefs in support of AIDS Healthcare Foundation, worried that, you know, if you know, people go after them and succeed, you know, they could go after other organizations and like this. And so, I mean, yeah, as Liam said, there is concern that if this is successful, it could be used in the future against others.
Well, Andrew, thank you for joining Insight. This has been very illuminating.
Thanks for having me.
Liam, it's been great talking to you.
As always, yes.
Los Angeles Times reporters Andrew Corey and Liam Dillon are housing reporters for the LA Times. We've been talking about Prop 34, a state ballot measure with a hidden housing agenda. Coming up next, a horticulturist from the UC Davis Arboretum offers us some gardening tips and gives a preview of their upcoming fall plant sale. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Alan Young.